SBS தமிழ்.
Greetings, Ahalya Krishnan.
Hello, Vanakkam.
You have an incredible story to share with us, but before we get into that, can you kindly introduce yourself to our audience and tell us about your Tamil heritage?
I grew up in Canberra, born and raised in Canberra. My parents are of Indian background. My dad migrated here in the 70s, and my mum and he got married in the early 80s, and they settled in Canberra. I grew up, you know, in a fairly conservative Indian Hindu house. Growing up as a Brahmin was sometimes challenging because we live a life of being vegetarian, and often you go to the temple on weekends with the family, whereas my white Australian friends would be playing sport and going to each other's houses and things like that. So there was a challenge of fitting in and knowing exactly who my people were. So, you know, I feel connected to my heritage, but I also feel really strongly connected to Australia because it's where I grew up. And I have a really lovely family. I've got a wonderful older sister and, yeah, my two parents that I've lived with, you know, my whole adult life almost. And yeah, it's great. I love living in Canberra, but it has challenges because when you grow up in a small place, you tend to know everyone in the community, which is amazing. But that also has its challenges because it feel that they know everything that goes on in your life.
And after schooling, what did you do? What career did you choose?
I studied nursing at the University of Canberra. I graduated in 2006, and I've worked sort of all over the healthcare spectrum. A lot of my career, I worked in the emergency departments across Canberra and Queanbeyan hospitals. Also have worked in public health. I've worked in immunisation, I've worked in general practice, sexual health. I work now in organ donation. So I've worked across different areas of health, which I feel has given me a really great experience being able to meet really different people and being exposed to people's sort of life journeys in different ways.
When did you meet the man of your dreams and how did you meet him?
Nearly 10 years ago. But I'll go back to uni because I didn't know if nursing was for me. And I went back to do a communications degree, so a degree in public relations. So I actually met him my second time at university, and I met him while I was studying communications.
And when you got married, did you have two ceremonies or just the Hindu wedding?
The Hindu wedding was on the Friday, and then the civil ceremony was on the Saturday. So it was a full-on 2 days for my friends. So they all got the experience of a Hindu wedding, and then they all had the really laid-back civil ceremony and the wonderful reception that we had. It was really nice.
How long had you known Ryan before you got married?
We've known each other for about 5 years before we got married.
And 6 weeks after your wedding day, you came to know of something that shook your world.
My husband called me quite distressed on the phone. He was driving, came home. He sort of had, at that time, had said to me, you know, I've been gambling and I've taken money from my family to support my gambling. So that was really shocking, as you can imagine. I didn't expect it. I didn't really know what to do at that time. We called his parents and I think we all had a very knee-jerk reaction, which was to try and fix the debt, I suppose, rather than think about the reasons behind addiction. So at that time, I don't think we really looked at it as a disease. We looked at it more as like a personality trait. And I think we went about trying to fix the problem in the wrong way.
And repaying that debt was nowhere near fixing the problem, was it?
6 months later, it turned out it was even worse in terms of the extent of the gambling. There was a hidden credit card and a hidden personal loan that had been taken out to support his addiction. And there were periods over that 6 months where he wasn't working. I think that's when things like getting the credit card and the personal loan sort of came into play. So initially, that's 6 weeks after the wedding, I thought, oh my goodness, this is shock and obvious betrayal and all of those things go through mine. And then you think, what have I done to cause this? And therefore, what can I do to fix this? And then 6 months later, when you realize it's actually worse than you thought, I didn't know what to do. I tried to talk to friends about it, and that wasn't very helpful. I spoke to my GP, who, with all their best intentions, said, you just need to leave him. You know, you can't be with someone like this.
And what did you do at that time?
So I found that really difficult because I just wanted someone to say to me, it's okay. It's a chronic disease. And this is where he is in the cycle of addiction. And this is what you can do to support them. And that just took a long time. It took me about 6 weeks, which is a really long time when you're in a marriage that you think is going to break down. And that was really hard because I didn't know what to do. I just felt really lost at that time.
You mentioned that you were close to your sister. How did she react? And how did your parents react?
My sister was incredible, and she's just an incredible person. And she just said to me, what does that mean for you? Are you okay? You know, what do you want to do? So, you know, do you want to stay with this person? Do you not want to stay? What can I do to help? So she was amazing. And it's probably because we're quite close in age and we have stayed very close as sisters. So she was really good. My mum and dad were really good as well, but they didn't really know what to do, like what to say to me. So there was a bit of a knee-jerk reaction of like, well, you sort of need to stay because, you know, we don't really divorce. It's not a thing, you know, and you need to do what you have to do to make this work. And they didn't mean that in a awful way. They just meant that in a, it's for better, for worse. So you need to stick with this person through the thick and the thin of it. They didn't know what to say and they didn't know what advice to give me. They just tried to be really supportive of both of us during this time. And they never said to me, you need to leave or you need to do anything that would be detrimental to my life.
Were there any signs or indications when you were dating or when you had just got married that Ryan had an issue with gambling?
So the addiction certainly I felt was that 6 weeks after the wedding. That was when I realized that he was addicted. But, you know, sort of ever since I knew him, I think he always, you know, he likes to bet on the Melbourne Cup or, you know, he might want to put in $20 or whatever on the pokies. But I never thought that it was a problem. It's so cliched, but you always think you know, but you don't. Unlike, I think, other addiction where you might be able to smell alcohol on someone or personality change because of drugs on board, you don't know if somebody has gone to the casino or if they've gone to an RSL or a Labour Club or something and put money in a pokies machine. You know, especially if we had separate bank accounts. We didn't have like a joint account that I could see where the money was being spent. But like all addiction, there's lying and there's manipulation and all of those things I think you would see across any addiction. And certainly no one thinks that they are going to live with someone who has an addiction without knowing about it.
You didn't sense or think anything was abnormal.
You just think it's really normal and it's just part of, you know, everyone bets on the Melbourne Cup. It's really normal, isn't it? Like it's just part of the Australian culture. Particularly in Canberra, you know, you can't go to any RSL or Labour Club or any of these clubs in the ACT without there being pokies there. So it's quite normal for young men, I think, to even just be like to go to the pokies. Like that's quite a normal part of just being in certain social groups.
This is SBS Tamil, broadcasting throughout Australia. We are listening to Ahalya Krishnan's personal story, who has dealt with her husband's addiction to gambling. Once you came to know the issue and once you came to terms with the issue, how did you cope and what steps did you take?
It was hard. The first sort of step was to establish how much debt there was and deciding whether or not it was going to be a collective debt or a debt that he had to pay. And I made the decision that it was a collective debt because we are a couple and this is now a couple problem. It took a really long time for us to set up a joint bank account. So there was just a bit of resistance from Ryan because it's a loss of independence when your partner, wife, is saying to you, we need to have a joint bank account because I don't trust you anymore with money. So that was quite difficult. But once we opened up a joint bank account, that made things a lot easier. We needed to see a financial counsellor who really gave us a step-by-step as to how much money we had per fortnight and per month, what our outgoing costs were, so things like private health insurance, rent, utilities, groceries, all of those things were put out together. A lot of people will budget anyway, but then you have to include now a new debt that you didn't have. We paid off that debt slowly, so that was done just fortnightly. And I did that because I think if we had paid it off as a lump sum, I don't think people understand the true cost of a problem. If there's just this lump sum amount that you can just pay off a debt, then have you really learned from what you've done? Have you really understood the impact that this has had on your life? I'm not using it as a, you're a bad person, but it's your actions have consequences and this is what the consequence is. We're not going on an overseas holiday because we need to pay off this debt. And that is a consequence. And it was something that we just needed to discuss. And, you know, we just paid that off as we needed to.
Did you seek any medical counseling?
We separately went to counselors. I felt at the time I didn't want to go together because I needed to work through my feelings of betrayal and anger before I felt that I could have a conversation with him in the room and another person. I think the fact that I've worked in healthcare for over 10 years, I don't feel that awkward about going to see a counselor. And my parents said to me, if you need to talk to someone, you just need to talk to someone. It's okay that we can't help you. You might just need someone who doesn't know you to help you through this. What I found really useful was that they spoke to me about the cycle of addiction and how people can fall in and out of different phases of this. And they can be in certain phase for years and years and years. And sometimes they can fall off that, but they don't always have to relapse into a full addiction and spiral down. So I found that really useful, but it was quite expensive. And I think that was the biggest reason that I didn't see that person more than 3 times. It was just the cost of it. But they really helped me understand that my feelings weren't unique and that I was not alone in feeling the sadness and anger and a bit of resentment towards my situation and not towards my husband. And having seen that person then, it wasn't initial, but probably 6 months later, Ryan and I went to a counselor together. That was a really good experience. You know, I was probably quite resistant to going with him. In my mind, I thought, you know, this isn't going to help me. You know, what are they going to tell me that I don't already know? Because, you know, in some ways you become a bit arrogant, don't you, with your own life. You don't think you necessarily need someone to give you tools to manage your own stress because no one thinks they need that. But in fact, everyone could use that information. And it also helped us realize that we just have such different perspectives on money and how money is spent. And that was probably one of the tipping points in being able to move forward from the addiction phase and moving into that more recovery phase, was understanding how we perceive money and what we perceive to be a big spend. So that was really useful, and being able to openly discuss that with somebody there who didn't know us and therefore didn't have preconceived notions of who we were and therefore make any judgments about us beforehand. That was so helpful. And I really recommend, if people need to do that, to do that, to go and speak to someone. But you need to be ready to do that together. I don't think it should be done straight away. I think that can be quite detrimental if you do it as a couple. I think it needs to be done individually initially and then do it together.
I think it is incredible for you to come forward to share the story with the others. What made you think that you should share the story?
I saw an advert for a ANU research study for women whose partners were problem gamblers. I thought, oh, yes, that's me. So I contacted one of the researchers and I spoke with them about it. But I did ask Ryan and I said, look, you know, would it be okay if I participated in this research? Because I think it's really important that people understand that the ripple effect of gambling is so much more than they think. And it would be really nice to have support services available to partners in a meaningful way, to be able to go to your GP or to be able to ask just a friend or anyone, or just to be able to search it and call the helpline and they give you actual advice, because I'd found that that wasn't the case. So, and then with the research, they asked me if it would be okay to put my name forward to speak with someone from the ABC. And I said yes. And then I checked with Ryan and he said, it's not my story, it's yours, so you can share it if you want to, which I think is incredibly humble and noble and generous for him to do that. He didn't have any hesitation for me to speak. And for me, I think it's really important that people realize that, you know, we look like a really normal couple. I don't think you would look at us and you wouldn't think, oh, you know, they've had really tough times in their marriage and they've worked through some really full-on stuff and that they've overcome quite significant hurdles. And I just wanted to let people know that it can happen to anybody. Like, you know, you can be from any background. And to think that people who are addicts look or are from a certain background or they have certain personality traits is just wrong. If you think about someone who's addicted to, say, ice, you have a really specific image in your mind of what that person looks like. In my work, I've met lots of people who have addictions to ice, cocaine, alcohol, and they have normal jobs and they also struggle with addiction. So part of it was also just to say, look, you know, it exists in society. And I just want to shine a light on the fact that, you know, gambling, there is a problem with it. And it just doesn't get spoken about. No one really knows about gambling addiction. And I just don't think there's enough help out there for people. Really, I really found it. I was really lucky because I have a great family network and support network because of that. But not everyone is in my situation. There are loads of people who don't have access. You know, they don't have a full-time job like I have a full-time job, so they can't afford to go and see a psychologist. They can't take time off work to try and deal with these things, whereas I felt much more lucky and blessed that I did have that. So I want there to be better services for women to be able to say, I don't know what to do, but I'm worried that we could lose the mortgage, or I'm really worried that we're not going to be able to pay the school fees for our kids or buy groceries. What do I do? Who do I talk to? And how do I have a family life and a partnership with this person whom I love and build a life together?
It's almost 2 years since you discovered your husband's addiction and about 2.5 years since you got married. How would you rate your relationship with Ryan now?
I feel that we are stronger, not really because of what happened, but since it all came out. I feel that we are in a much better position emotionally to have awkward conversations, but also talk about what our future really does look like. And I don't think that we got married too early or anything, but I think that what happened forced us to make a decision about what we were going to do with our life and how it was going to look. And I think we are in a way better place for that. You know, the fact that I'm able to freely speak about it without even considering that, you know, Ryan would be upset with me, I think that just shows that, to me, the strength of his character and the strength of our relationship for us to be able to talk about it in a fairly public space, because that can draw a lot of unwanted negative attention as well as positive. And I think that, to me, that we're in a much better place than we were, you know, when we first got married or even before we got married, because we are able to talk about things in an open way.
Ahalya, you talked about cycles of addiction. Has Ryan been tempted by gambling since his confession?
There are times where we don't go to certain venues because I think that the pull and the urge can be quite strong for him. And that is something that I do worry about. And certainly with the cycle, what I learned is that, you know, in high times of stress or really big change, there are times that people will feel the urge to gamble or whatever the addiction is, you know, to drink, to whatever. It's in really high times of stress that can happen. And as I said, like major changes. So, you know, moving house, having a kid, those sorts of things can really precipitate a relapse. So I've tried really hard that we work together. So we just can't go to trivia nights in most places in Canberra because most trivia is held in labour clubs that have pokies. Like they genuinely hold the trivia right out by the pokies area, like right next to it. So absolutely, the lights, the sounds of pokie machines, they are quite intoxicating for somebody, and that pull that, you know, and then that sound when somebody hits a feature or they win the jackpot, those are those sounds that really, I think, they are what trigger a response in him. And as much as possible, we try and manage that by either avoiding those areas, like those places, or we go together, or he has friends that I trust will not, you know, let him into those those pokies areas. So it's not like, you know, I have him by like, you know, he's not on a leash by any means. Like I don't have him on a lead and, you know, he can't go anywhere without me. But it has been quite a long process in terms of negotiation of, you know, I don't really want you taking out money at the Labour Club because I don't trust that you're not going to use that.
Ahilya, you had been very brave in coming forward, in sharing your story with us and the community. I think Ryan is the luckiest guy to have been married to you. You have made some good choices in making sure that addictions are dealt with in the most appropriate manner. And your story, I'm sure, will help a lot of others in the community who may be facing similar issues. Thank you ever so much, Ahilya Krishnan.
Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate that you contacted me and that I was able to speak with you. I really do appreciate it. Thank you so much.
SBS Tamil Facebook-ஐ லைக் செய்வதுடன் நிகழ்ச்சிகள் பற்றிய கருத்துக்களை நமக்கு அறிய தாருங்கள்.